one time, one of my students, this is my first year that I worked at Wheatley, and she had gone downstairs to like get something for me, and she came back upstairs, and you know, and she was said, "Ms. Gupta, someone downstairs said that you were white, and I told them that you weren't, and I told them that you were African, and I made sure that they understood."
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American Daisies. My name is Arjun.
I'm Akash.
Today we have on someone very special to me. This is my sister. We have my sister on. She's one of the people. She's actually probably the person I admire most in the world, and I've said that to her a number of times, and I'll say that to the world. She is a teacher. She was a teacher. Now she's a teacher to teacher because that's how dope she is. She's an instructional coach. She's been teaching for almost 10 years. 8 years, 9 years?
7 years.
7 years, and then I don't know anything about my sister.
That's this is my eighth year.
This is your eighth year, and you teach in D.C.
Yes.
This is my sister, Vani Gupta.
Hello, everyone.
So here's what's interesting. You have two sisters.
Yeah, I do.
And you're very respectful. This is what we're talking about off the podcast. You just said you admire your sister the most in the world, but you call her Vani and not Vani Didi.
Yeah.
Why are you garbage?
You know, it's interesting. We were just like, weren't, I don't know. I was never raised to call you or Aditi, my elder sister, Didi. That was just never a part of, I mean, I don't even remember like being taught your names. That was just something that I heard and was like, I must have been taught before I was like, could remember things, but it was never taught like you call, like, this is your Vani Didi. It was just, this is Vani.
Right. And we were only taught to do that with our cousins.
Right.
And like extended family.
But we were very clearly taught to do that with extended family.
Right. And I actually don't think that I realized that you do that with your immediate family until I went to college and met other Indian people who called their sisters Didi.
So did you think Didi meant like older female cousin?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I knew that it meant sister, but I didn't. To me, it feels like more formal. So like, because I like my sister is my sister, so I don't have to refer to her as.
Oh yeah, it definitely feels more.
I guess
formal
it is more formal. I never thought of it as formal. I guess I guess being respectful is kind of automatically more formal, but I never like made that connection here.
I don't know that being respectful necessarily means formality, but I do think that we were just there was.
Well, like
there was a different like. I think I was raised that I had to act a little bit differently when I was in India around family than when I was just in Florida in the house with family.
Ooh, interesting. How do you think that impacted your relationship with Indian family? Did you think you looked at them as like not as close to because of that?
No. Why am I talking?
Well,
go ahead, both talk.
I mean, I think so, but not. I don't think it has to do with like calling them Didi or Pei. I just think we didn't. At least me, I don't feel like I knew my cousins in India very well. Like, we grew up visiting them all the time.
Hold on a second. With Charles Didi and Ankitbaya, they would come out. They came
over
to a lot.
Yeah, so a few, I think a few of them, like Charles Didi and Ankitbaya, we have a much more
like close
relationship to. And obviously, Panitha Nipun, who live in.
But even Panitha Nipun, that's interesting. Okay, here's interesting.
Yeah, but Nipun calls me Didi.
Oh, okay. So we have two other cousins.
That
we have two other cousins that are here. They're a year and a half. I'm in the middle of the two cousins. They're a year and a half. One's a year and a half older than me. I'd never have called him Baya. The other one's a year and a half younger than me. He's never called me Baya. But that's like, but that felt like that was in like that year range where you don't really futz with Baya. Even like cousins in India. I remember asking, we had some cousins that were like a year apart and they didn't call each other Didi either.
Like who?
Interesting. Like I remember with like Smita Didi, Malvika Didi, and Priya Masi, they like never really called each other.
Oh, really?
They would just be like, "Oh, that's Priya," and I'd be like, "But that's Priya Masi," and they were like, "No, that's Priya."
Oh.
I don't know.
So you think if you're close enough in age, it's like, eh?
Well, that's what I was taught. That's what I remember. Like, I just specifically remember someone telling me that, like, that they didn't.
That is interesting because Ganesh, my cousin who's been on the podcast 2 years younger than me, he doesn't call me Baya.
Right.
And then, but his little sister calls him Baya and she's 3 years younger.
Right.
So maybe there's this weird
cutoff. There's like this weird cutoff in like 2 years where you're like, I don't know.
I never really tripped on him not calling me Baya, but if Kanji didn't, his little sister, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me?
But it does feel like, you know, you become close enough where you don't. You know what I mean? I wonder if that's
But at the same time, I like, I like that Nipun, who's what, like 5 years younger than me, calls me Didi. I don't know why. Like, it just, it feels like very affectionate to me. But at the same time, when I think of the people that I call Didi, I don't feel as close to them as I do to like my own sister, who I don't call Didi.
But I don't know if the Didi, but so, that's where I'm trying to say, like, Sandeep Bhaiya, we call him Sandeep Bhaiya.
Yeah, but
we
have a
very close
him.
Relationship yeah. with him because of the time that we've spent yeah. with him, right? And he's, granted, he's like, you know, 15 to 18 years older than us, but he's still, like, the fact that I call him Bhaiya is just a part of who he is. Right. And I like calling.
You know, it's interesting, though. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you, because I actually just realized this when you said it, I feel the exact same way. When someone calls me Bhaiya, it feels really yeah. affectionate and loving. Yeah. But when I call someone that, it does, well, I guess not my own brother. Actually, I don't know if I feel it as much, but there's a little bit of, like, distance from it, where it's, like, yeah. it's more formal. But I guess when maybe, you call someone that...
But I guess maybe, like, what you're saying is true. Like, it depends on who the people are. And
right, and the relationship that you've had.
Yeah. So maybe it doesn't have anything to do with.
Yeah, because Bhaiya is just a word, right? And it can mean what it means based on, like,
a lot of words that are just words. You know what I mean? The N word is just a word. You know what I mean?
But that's what, but okay, but that's a great, like, the word has the meaning that we attach to it, right? That has come up from the way that the word has been used. And, you know, I mean, and this is something that we learn in acting class, like, in our first few months, is that take a line of text and then, you know, say it as if you hate the person or say it as if you love the person, and the words just shift, right. like, very clearly. But it's true, though. It was interesting that, like, we weren't raised to use that within our own family, which
yeah,
was interesting.
We weren't.
Like, and I don't know if that was part of them trying to get us to assimilate. Because our eldest sister, I mean, Aditi, you learned Hindi first.
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn Hindi first? What was your relationship with Hindi and English?
Well, by the time I was going to school, I was 2 years younger than Aditi. So I think I learned both kind of at the same time. But I think Mom and Dad realized that they should teach me English because when Aditi went to school, she didn't know any English.
Right.
So I think they felt like, I don't know, I've actually never asked them. But I think my understanding is that they probably felt like they should, like they, maybe that they didn't make a mistake, but that they should make sure that I knew English before I went to
Did they make more of an
school.
Effort to assimilate y'all in general, do you think, than Aditi?
I think so. I think, well, I was going to ask you this, and this I think that ties in, because you have a different relationship with Hindi than I do. Like, you understand a lot more Hindi than I do.
Yeah.
Like, you and Aditi both understand, like, can understand Hindi
yeah.
fluently. I can't understand Hindi fluently.
Yeah.
But you're also less comfortable talking in Hindi than
but
I am.
But I think that's also because I'm shy. And I don't.
Right.
I, like, want it to sound perfect before I say it.
Yeah, I have right. that hang up, too.
Whereas, but like, you are just more, you don't care.
Don't
so
care.
You'll say, say it however you want to say it.
I say a lot of bad grammar in Hindi.
That's
like,
right.
my Hindi is real
Oh,
bad.
Yeah.
Right.
My parents will laugh in my face when I don't end the word correctly. Like, me'arahun hu is how you're supposed to say it. I'll say, like, me'arahun hu or whatever, and they'll just die laughing. Like,
oh, but that's why I love talking to my nanny.
Like, I'm a complete idiot.
Right? Well, my nanny is just, like, so happy that I'm trying to speak right. Hindi. She's just like, your Hindi's so good. And I'm like, it's not, but thank you, nanny. That makes me feel so
because
good.
Because also you're the only one. Maybe Aditi does a little bit now. So
right.
because Aditi has, like, been trying to teach the girls Hindi, she has been talking about, like, talking it a little
that's
bit
true.
More also, you know.
But why do you understand Hindi fluently and I don't? That's what I think we're getting at. It's because there was 4 years between.
Because I think when Aditi and I were growing up before you were born, Mom and Dad probably spoke Hindi a lot more at home.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I think.
Right.
What I was thinking maybe is it seemed like there was more of an effort to assimilate with y'all than there was with Aditi. And then at a certain point, your dad was like, no, this was a mistake. We're going to India. That's kind of what I was thinking, maybe.
I mean, that's how I would chart the progress. I mean, for me, by the time I was, I don't remember them, like, Hindi was used when my mom was angry at me in a public space and needed to tell me something, like, in code
Which
words.
Maybe you didn't understand anyway, so.
But I understood tone.
Right.
That, like, the tone was very clear. Or, like, if we needed to, like, Hindi became that code where, like, when we're in public spaces, right? For me, but I.
Or, but then I would also always hear it, like, when anyone called from India or when they called Nani
yeah.
or Thauji or anyone in India, then I would always hear the Hindi
yeah.
also. But I don't actually know, and I don't fully understand how I, like, understand it so fluently. But even recently when I was living in Florida and Nani came, and I think like Malva Kadidi came, and a lot of people were there, and mom and like everyone was speaking Hindi for the most part, like all the time, because everyone was there.
Right.
And I started to like think in Hindi also.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I didn't say it.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like shy to say it kind of, but I was able to start like thinking my thoughts were in like Hindi language.
But this is what I've heard, is that like that's why those first few years are so important. And you probably, you, what I'm hearing from you is just that you were immersed
probably
in Hindi being spoken around you.
Right.
And it's just,
and that's
in your
how
brain.
I absorbed it.
Right.
But and I don't just know the grammar of it at all.
Sure, but you know the sounds and you can understand. Right. Which I guess at the end of the day is the most important thing from a standpoint of like, because you're not trying to, I'm not saying that you need to go write in Hindi.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not
yeah,
the thing. The point is, like, whether you can, like,
communicate
and exist in the cultural landscape seamlessly. And it sounds like just being immersed in that, you can understand. That's really interesting that you started to think in Hindi.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever thought in Hindi. And you know what's tough about, like, wanting to learn Hindi? When, I mean, I've only been twice, but last time I went to India, I was begging people to speak to me in Hindi. And
but they
immerse,
all
but they,
English.
Oh, their English is better than my Hindi. So like, well, this is just inefficient. What are we doing?
It was interesting when I was in Cuba. I couldn't speak a lot of English. Like, so my English brain like had to shut off.
Yeah.
So I would think mainly in Spanish, but it was funny that there were some things that I would then say in Hindi, because there were some words that I was more comfortable saying in Hindi than I was in Spanish. So I started speaking like Hindi as what people, and I'm like, wait, no. Sorry.
Oh, I'll do that a lot. When I'm trying to speak Spanish, a Hindi word will pop up. And then when I start trying to speak Spanish a lot, if I'm trying to say Hindi, I'll think the Spanish thing. I'll be like, what am I, what, this is, it's three language people. That's crazy.
I mean,
that's juggling. You're like a clown juggling. I'm like, I don't know how you do that.
Well, one of the things that'd be interesting to hear from you also is just about your relationship with India. Like, we all lived there in India for the year.
I was actually just about to ask that.
And, you know, I've spoken at length about my experience with it, but it'd be interesting.
He always speaks at length. Have you noticed that about this guy?
Yeah, he cut me off a couple times already.
Thanks, Vaughn. But what was your, you lived there also? It'd be interesting to hear from, like, another perspective from the same family that was there. And
let me think. So, I mean, I think it was great because it allowed for us to get to know our family better. Like, I felt like that year, you know, like, Smita Didi would stay at our house a lot and, like, meet up with her friends. So then it kind of felt like, you know, we could go with her if we wanted, or we would see her at home a lot. Like, she would use our house as kind of, like, a place to stay.
It really did,
which, like, you know, was kind of nice because we never grew up with that. Anshul Bey used to do that, too. You know, he stayed with us sometimes.
Just religious, these are cousins that lived in India.
Right. Also, the only other Anshul Bey, my brother's name is Anshul. Only other Anshul I've ever heard of is.
Oh, really?
Your Anshul Bey. It was weird to hear that.
Oh. Yeah, so I think, like, in that sense, it was nice. And being able to, like, celebrate Diwali in India for the first time ever, because we were there year round. Even Holi, right. I think we celebrated.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, just like being there throughout the year is so different than just going and visiting for like a short amount of time, because you're actually living there. But I don't like, I don't know that it now, having been like so many years since we were there, like I don't necessarily still feel closer to those people than
did
I did when I was there.
Did it shift your understanding of like who you were? Like what happened for you like with your like relationship with India, not just the people, but like as an idea? Or did you even think about this growing up?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I did, but I don't think I have like thought about thinking about it.
Right.
I will say the last time I went to India, which was now like 5 years ago, probably, I think I realized that I felt more like an outsider, I think, than I had in the past. And I think it's because it felt like it had been a long time since I had gone. And I didn't really have, like, even though I saw, like, Dhruv and, like, all of our cousins, you know, came and I went out with them. And, you know, they, you know, all these, like, new restaurants are in Delhi and the mall. And, you know, it's very, like, modernized. And I did all those things with them. I didn't necessarily feel, like, fully comfortable with them, if that makes sense. Right. And I felt very aware of the fact that, like, I was speaking English and my English sounds really different than
their English,
even though everyone was speaking English, you know?
Right.
And I don't know, like, if you had been there or if Aditi had been there, if I would have felt more comfortable.
Right.
But
it's interesting to me that your relationship with India, and honestly, guys, this is some of the stuff that we haven't actually even talked about. But, like, your relationship with India is a lot about the family and mm-hmm. not necessarily, like, the people or the land or the culture as much as it is about the people. And that's just an interesting thing.
What do you mean?
Well, whenever I've been asking about like India and your relationship to India, it's been about your experience within like the cousin,
family. A big thing for me was not being a minority. I remember the first time I went, I saw a white person. We were like, look. And that was just so, I remember that moment. I remember that moment being so crazy to me. Like, oh, I'm the majority. This is, so that's what he means in terms, I think, in the relationship.
Well,
and I think when you bring that up, it does make me think of that. Like, I do remember, especially when we lived there for that year. It was the first time that I experienced, you know, at school, I experienced so many non-Indians who lived in India.
Right.
And I remember thinking that that was really interesting in the way that they had kind of like adapted to the culture. Some of them had been there longer than we had, you know, because we were only there for a year. Some of them had been there for 3 to 4 years.
Right.
And so like some of the ways that they had adapted to the culture was like very interesting to me, even though they were really coming from somewhere so different.
Did you feel like any type of way, like looking at them, how that might have been reflected in you when you're in America or anything like that? Like, Arjun was saying last week when he came back from India, he felt like a different person, not just because of the relationship with family, but like he felt more confident, he felt more grounded. Did you feel any of those types of shifts?
Not that I can really remember. Like, I remember coming back and it was my junior year of high school, and I just honestly, the thing I remember the most is like
the water.
What?
You can drink the water.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have to buy bottled water. But I think the thing I remember the most was, like, when I left, I was a freshman in high school. I had, like, a group of friends. Mm-hmm. When I came back, that had, like, somewhat shifted. You know, like, I remember thinking more about those sorts of things. I don't really...
Yeah, you did, like, leaving for your 10th year, like, for sophomore year was a really difficult thing.
Yeah, and
like,
I think it did probably influence my high school in terms of, like...
Right.
Who my friend circle was or wasn't. And like, I kept in touch with all my friends when I was in India, you know, and I have all those letters still actually, but like, I don't remember it so much in terms of like,
right.
I don't know. Maybe I just haven't really thought about it that much.
No, but you did have the hardest from the standpoint, like Aditi was a senior and she left and then she started something new when she came
back.
I came back and I was still in middle school and like everyone's friends are changed. Like middle school doesn't count.
Yeah, high school, like, middle of high school kind of.
Right, because everyone's changing so much during middle school that, like, transformations. And, like, when I came back, like, friend circles, like, shifted, were shifting constantly anyways. Like, it was eighth grade, like, daily friend circles were changing. So that does make an interesting point. I'm curious about, you know, your relationship with your identity as an Indian now. You live in D.C., you're a teacher, you've taught in many different communities. I don't really know. I just
let
more
me ask
like
you this:
topic.
Teaching in and of itself is not something we view as being like the typical Indian profession. How do you feel as a teacher? As an do people look at you any type of way, or your parents? How do they deal with it? How do other Indians react to it?
So first of all, yes, it's not really like a typical job in the U.S.
Right.
What I am realizing is that I think it's pretty, like, it's a pretty normal track to take in India as a female, especially you know, because it's like, I don't know. I think it's like a pretty,
right.
At least maybe like back in the day. I don't know. But yes, I have always been the only Indian.
Right.
I think at every single school. I think at the one school I taught at for 4 years, when I first started, there was another Indian and then he left and then another Indian came.
Right.
So those are the
was
only.
Was that Janie?
No, at Wheatley. Yeah. So I've always been the only Indian. Both staff and often students, because interestingly, like, I don't know where all the Indian kids in Washington, D.C. go to school.
Virginia.
I guess they're all in the suburbs for the most part. Yeah. I think there are some Indian families that live in the city, but I'm assuming they go to private school.
Oh, yeah, we should clarify. You're a teacher within the D.C. public school
yes,
system.
Yes, I work for the D.C. public school system.
Right.
So I definitely have always been aware of the fact that I am Indian.
Right.
And that's not necessarily represented in the student population that I work with. Mm-hmm. It's almost never represented.
How do they deal with it, students?
The students?
Yeah.
So it depends on where I am. So the school I worked at for 4 years, Wheatley, was a completely African-American community. A lot of our staff was African-American. Our staff was pretty diverse, but every single one of our kids was Black.
Right.
And they were super confused.
Right.
They didn't really understand who I was. They only understood Black and white.
Right.
They had no concept of anything in between. And so I did, my first year I didn't do anything about it because I was like so vulnerable because the kids were just like so difficult to manage and I was trying to just like get to know them and build.
Yeah.
And I just don't think I could take them like being negative about it, you know, so I didn't do anything with it the first year. But then my second year, actually then my second, third, and fourth year, we always celebrated Diwali in my classroom. So,
oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
So my reading coach, Barb Murphy, who...
Shouts to Barb.
Yes, love Barb, who's actually Anglo-Indian. So her parents actually grew up in India. She has like a lot of resources on like children's books about India and like the... So she gave me a couple different children's books to read. And so I kept one and I would read it. And it was really just like the story of the Diwali.
Right.
And my kids loved it because, you know, it's like people fighting with each other. And like they were totally engrossed in the story. So we would read that. And then 1 year we made diyas with like clay. 1 year we made paper diyas because I didn't buy the clay in time. So we just like colored them and like hung them up in the classroom. But I always try to explain to them, like I show them on the map where I was coming from. And I always try to explain to them like what it meant. I don't know if that internalized or not.
That's awesome.
Because I don't think they still fully understood that I was not white or Black. They thought I was light-skinned.
They thought you were a light-skinned Black woman.
Yeah, they thought I was light-skinned. One time, one of my students, this is my first year that I worked at Wheatley, and she had gone downstairs to like get something for me, and she came back upstairs, and you know, and she was said, "Miss Gupta, someone downstairs said that you were white, and I told them that you weren't, and I told them that you were African, and I made sure that they understood." And I said, "Okay, thank you, Jeanette." Like I didn't know what to say, but it was so cute. Like she was so adamant to like stick up for her teacher.
Because identity is important,
right?
You need to know your light skin Black.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was interesting. Like it also seems like you became a part of their community.
I mean, I hoped so. Like, I wanted to definitely, because I felt like they were never going to learn those things from anyone else, right? Like, I was clearly the only, our other Indian who taught at our school taught middle school, and, you know, you have, like, a different relationship.
Right.
Your kids in middle school, you're not celebrating the Diwali necessarily.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're also, I'm doing a really bad job of introducing you. You are
I taught
elementary
third
school,
grade
right.
When I was at that school for 4 years.
We'll both take
that.
We're both
you know what?
Okay.
You could have done it.
Yeah, I could have done it also. But yeah, so because of like their age, I felt like they were never going to get that experience from somewhere else. And so I felt like it was important for me to do that with them.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting in terms of just like no one, even our staff, like no one really understood, like no one knew about the Diwali, you know, no one like, and that's probably true in general, but no one knows that that's like a holiday that we celebrate. No one wishes us happy Diwali.
Right.
No one offers for us to take the day off if we need. Like,
yeah,
if you ask for those things, chances are they'll give it to you.
Right.
But I always feel like it's happening in isolation.
I even feel now like Diwali, like people are aware of it and they get it and they kind of are like, but I feel like they look at it like a carnival is going on down the street, and it's like, hey, let's just watch that thing. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's Diwali also been like explained as the Festival of Lights. It's so like the way to explain it has become so reductive, you know, that it's just about the Festival of Lights. So they don't incorporate Ram's return. They don't incorporate like because to explain that, you have to give like a really complex context to it that honestly, I would be learning stuff from, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to pretend to be, you know. And that's another thing that, you know, we were raised, I mean, I grew up remembering doing, like, something for Diwali, but literally that was it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we also, like, grew up in, I've talked about on the podcast, being Arya Samaji. Like, that's the way that our family was raised. So there wasn't, like, idols in our family, like, in our house that, like.
But I do remember the traditions that we had for Diwali. Like, I remember sometimes Mom would, like, pick us up early. I don't know if you remember this, but
no.
I do remember when we were in elementary school, she would often pick us up early from school. We would go, like, buy the flowers to, like, put you know, in the like puja area or whatever in the family room. And then like we would get to like set it all up however we wanted with like the candles and that kind of stuff.
This sounds so nice. I wish I remembered it.
I like remember that very well, actually.
Right.
And
that's interesting.
I remember like we made like ohms out of, I don't know, clay or Play-Doh.
I remember lighting the diyas.
And then we baked them, and then we would put the diyas outside with the hole punch. Like, I remember all of that very well. And a lot of times we would have people over.
Right.
Maybe not on the belly night, but that weekend or whatever.
I should tell a little quick story about my sister and my relationship. My father's the youngest of eight. And when we would grow up going to India, the first thing that she would do in my Babaji and Amaji's, which are my paternal grandparents' house, there was a big picture of everyone that was in the family and the wives, like all the brothers and all the wives. So my sister would immediately take me there and quiz me and help me remember all the names, because I had, and I still do, have a terrible memory, a terrible long-term memory. My sister has the better memory. That was just a quick little side story that I thought was cute.
Yeah, man. Cool. it was cute. Good for you. Hey, here's what I want to know.
Yes.
This is going to be kind of awkward, but so if you're dating, if you are on a date with a South Asian guy, how does he deal with the fact that you're a teacher? Is he like, oh, that's amazing? Or he's like, oh, it's not a lot of earning potential.
I don't think I've really gone out on a lot of dates with South Asian.
You think that's a you
But I do
thing?
Think that's also because I feel like they are generally more, I think they would have that attitude that you described in terms of like, okay, that's not like a very high earning job. I mean, I guess I'm making a stereotype because I haven't actually done it, but.
Well, I guess it taps into what another question is kind of contextualizes this. What is your community of friends? Are there a lot of South Asians?
Right, so I don't have like any. Well, I mean, I guess I have a couple, but I don't have a lot of really close South Asians. So I don't feel like I fully. That's a very important part of me in terms of. I think the pieces about being Indian or South Asian that stick out the most to me are like the piece about family, right? Just like, you know, like your family is really just like the most important, in my opinion. And like this idea of like siblings, like, you know, I have friends who like hate their brothers and sisters, but like for us, that's not even allowed. Like you can't, you're not allowed to hate your brother and sister. Like you can't say that. You can't do that.
My brother and I have tried.
If that's true, you don't say it and you still figure out a way to get along with them because they are your family. You don't hate your parents. You don't shut them out, you know. And that's the piece that I identify with very, very strongly. So in terms of
and
like
the
people.
No?
I mean.
Really?
Yeah, I do, but I don't like.
So I guess you're at relationship with your South Asian identities. You've taken the things you think are the most important and adapted those.
Yes, I think so.
Which are family.
So then I think that goes to like the people that I surround myself with, right? Like.
Interesting.
The people that I surround myself. I mean, not necessarily like all my friends have to be like close to their family, but I think they have to understand my relationship with my family, and they all do, and they all love my family, right? They all would love to be a part of our family, I think, you know, all of my friends. And our family has taken all of them in as part of their family, because that's just how we do it, you know? Like, they all came to Aditi's wedding.
That is a thing that I remember we were always taught, and, like, invite them, bring them over. Why aren't your friends over here? Why, like, my mom and dad even have always been good about asking, like, what's going on with, you know, what's going on with Aga? What's going on with Charlie?
Exactly.
What's going on with your friends? And they, like, want the news because if they're part of my friend circle, it's almost like
it's
well,
they
I remember
take them
when
in.
We were planning Aditi's wedding, Mom said, okay, and then Vani's friends will come. And Aditi and I both were like, why would my friends come to Aditi's wedding? And Mom said, why? All my friends came to Aditi's wedding, you know? And my sister was like, no, we have so many people. Like, she was a little resistant at first, and I totally understood because they were, like, you know, trying to figure out their wedding. And then 5 minutes later, I was like, yeah, no, okay, my friends will come to the wedding.
That's great.
They all came. All five of my, like, closest friends came to her wedding. And I don't know. It was...
It's important
it's just
for
as
me.
It should be.
If I introduce a friend to my parents, if they don't, like, sit down and talk for a few minutes, maybe this is everybody. I think maybe particularly South Asian. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? You're just going to sit down and leave? Like, get to know these people.
Right.
Here's what I was noticing though, is like for me, and I think a lot of people who at least come on this podcast, it's nice when you talk to a South Asian person because there's all these little things about the culture they understand. Mm-hmm. But for you, it's the identity is based on these big things, and you like having people identify with these big things.
What are the little things?
Little things like I feel like I don't have to explain little stuff to you. Like I can't even.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? If Diwali comes around, I don't have to sit there and be like, hey, here's a Google article that tells you what Diwali is. Holy is this thing that we do. Right. Blah, blah, blah. I feel so much better not having to explain those things, and like someone just gets it.
But it's also funny. Like I mean I don't remember ever growing up with Bollywood. You know what I mean?
I think that's the thing. Like I don't feel it. I feel like a lot of the Indians that I met even in college were like so Indian. You know, like they knew all the like Bollywood stars. They watched lots of like movies. And I feel like I didn't really feel like I was Indian enough to hang out with them in a way.
Yeah, both of you guys had that experience in college, it seems like, where you felt kind of outside of the Indian circle.
Yeah, and I actually, like, I mean, I do have some friends who are Indian from college, you know.
Right.
And yes, it is really nice to be able to, like, celebrate Diwali and not have to say anything to them about it. Even, like, with Aditi and Shiv, like, Shiv is our brother-in-law, right? And I see, like, how nice it is for them to be able to just understand each other in a way that I think they do, partly because of like they grew up similarly. Yeah. I mean, now Shiv's family is more traditional and more religious. They have more religious traditions than our family does. But Aditi is adapted to that in the way that she feels comfortable.
Right.
And I think, again, I go back to the family thing, but the fact that like Aditi will spend the whole weekend with her in-laws and it doesn't bother her at all. She knows how important it is for the girls, for her. You know, she's really close to Shiv's sister and their family. And, like, that's really important to Aditi also. And I think that she, like, I'm happy that she has that from Shiv.
Right.
Well, I don't know if she would have that if she married someone who wasn't Indian.
Right. Mm.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so that's just an interesting thing I was noticing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious going back to teaching for a second and back to what you kind of dived into what it was like when you were at Wheatley with predominantly African-American community. Now you're in a school that's, well, you went to two other schools from there, and they were more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been a different experience with those kids being, you know, where have they been? Have you noticed, were they more open?
So
were they less open?
So the school I went to after Wheatley was in Georgetown, which was a wealthier community. And it was more diverse. There was maybe like one or two Indians in the school. And every time I saw their
parents.
Students.
Yeah.
You know, they would always like smile at me. I feel like there was just like a mutual understanding. And we did have an aide who was Indian who I became close to just because she was very like motherly, you know, very sweet. But I think that just because those kids had been exposed to more different communities, I didn't feel quite so different, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I did feel like that among the staff because our staff wasn't as diverse.
Interesting.
Our staff was mostly Caucasian girls who were younger. And Ben.
The most diplomatic way I've ever heard you speak.
Yeah, so like, you know, mostly I think because of that. But I think everyone was just kind of more exposed to different people. And so I didn't feel quite so isolated, if that makes sense.
Right. Did you make the same efforts with them regarding Diwali? Did you make the same efforts with them regarding like exposing them to the South Asian culture? Or
that's
did
a really
you...
good question. And now I'm thinking, I don't think I ever celebrated Diwali at Hyde. I might have, but like in a much smaller way. Actually, I think I did. And I think I also like gave a book or an activity to my two team members who also taught fourth grade last year, who were both white girls who I don't think knew very much about Diwali, but I do think that they were happy that I had done that, and they did make the effort to do something, if I remember correctly, in their own classrooms.
So it was almost like there was less of a responsibility to expose them because these kids had been exposed to more things and for that
Yeah,
other
I think so, yes. Now, I still don't really know if they knew very much about where I came from, but, you know, we had lots of kids from lots of different places at Hyde. My first year, I had a girl from Italy who spoke no English. You know, so they were used to this, and they had all traveled to many places. I had a little girl from Estonia, You know, and she very like sweetly showed me exactly where that was on the map the right. first year I taught her, and she was very proud of it, and she would talk about it all the time, you know.
Yeah.
So it was more, it was Ooh. More.
If you were a kid, if you were back in, if you put yourself back in elementary school and someone told you to point on a map where India was, would you be able to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have.
Because we had remember we had those maps up in the den. And Mom would all, we had lots of maps around.
That was the only country. That's I could point out three countries now, and that's the only one.
Texas is one of them.
Yeah, Texas, America, Mexico, maybe. Who cares about Canada? God.
I do. I work there. They pay me a lot of money.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Now we have to care about Canada.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: how did it feel? Now we all kind of grew up in an environment where, like, people didn't know a lot about India or mm-hmm. our culture or anything. What was it like going to a school? How did that feel when they don't even know it's a place? It is essentially Narnia to them.
I mean, it's hard because you feel like, first of all, I think you feel, or I felt like, sort of this responsibility that I had to teach them about it because otherwise they wouldn't right. learn about it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that I necessarily know everything to teach them about it.
Right.
I mean, I think it's uncomfortable. Like, it's uncomfortable that you are, I mean, we are a minority, obviously, but there are many Indians in the United States or South
we
Asians.
Exist.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's not even that it's funny, we're a minority, but like in the scope of the world.
Right.
It's 1.3 billion people.
But we are a minority within the education field. We're a minority within, like, the acting field, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, now if you think about Aditi and Shiv, they're both doctors in Houston.
Right.
There are a million doctors that they know. I'm sure when they go to work, everyone knows what the Bali is.
Right.
Right, because probably half the... And same with Dad when he was growing up. You know, right. we grew up around, like, such a tight-knit Indian community. But in the education world, there are very few...
Did that...
South Asians. I see none.
Right.
Quite honestly.
So having to carry that mantle and kind of educate people, does that make you feel more prideful? Does that make you feel less, maybe even, probably not shame because we're older than that, but like.
I mean, it definitely didn't make me feel shame. I think in a way it made me feel prideful, but then I think in a way it just made me feel uncomfortable. Like I didn't like being the only one.
Okay.
Mm. So even now as an instructional coach, because I'm a part of our like leadership team at school, I will go to, you know, like leadership meetings where it's like all principals, where I'll go to like meetings with all the principals within our cluster or whatever. And I'm painfully aware of the fact that I'm the only Indian South Asian in the room, like always, you know, and especially in DC where there's a huge African-American community in education, like a lot of our educators are Black, a lot of our principals are Black. You know, there's a big mix between Black and white and then maybe some Hispanics, but there are no, there are no South Asians.
So it's not real diversity.
I mean, it's diversity among those three.
But yeah, but it's not like diverse reflecting of like the world as it is.
Within the educational staff within DCPS, I don't, not that I've seen.
Shots fired, DCPS. Shots fired.
We're actually running short on time.
What do you got?
Because I should have gotten into this probably 20 minutes ago, but
that's fine.
Your parents seem like really open-minded, like it doesn't matter to them. Do you feel any, how do you feel about the way your profession is perceived amongst other uncles and aunties?
So my parents are very supportive, obviously, right. But.
You're the favorite, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
I'm not going to argue with that.
I'm a little child, so I think I'm the,
I can tell when I'm talking to a fellow favorite.
So let me tell you something, man. She's the one who was always keeping peace in the family. Like, me
yeah,
and Aditi would
child,
fight.
So
like,
I'm the peacemaker.
Yeah, we would fight a lot.
So I will say this. I remember when I was in college and I came home once and I went to some Indian party with my parents.
Right.
And I was in college and I was studying education and, you know, everyone was asking, oh, Vanny, like, what are you studying? What are you doing? And I remember saying, like, you know, I'm studying education, like I'm going to become a teacher. And many people responded by asking me if I was doing Teach for America, which I personally also really hate as a program for teachers. Yeah. But their concept was, oh, she must be doing Teach for America. She'll teach for a couple.
Stone.
Exactly. And then what are you going to do? Then you'll go to law school. Then you'll go to medical school. Then you'll go to business, you know. And my response was always, no, I'm going to be a teacher. Like, that is what I'm going to do. And I remember, like, talking to my mom, and I was upset. You know, of course, she was just like, don't worry about it, Vani. Like, you can't control that, you know. So I do think, from the larger Indian community growing up, like, there is sort of this concept that, like, being a teacher is not enough.
Right.
And then I remember when I did work at Wheatley, which was, like, a really rough community, that was also very, very hard for people to understand. Like, I remember dads, all of, like, the Rohtak families, you know, I remember Deepika Aunty once was like, but we have a friend who, like, is working in a private school. Like, why can't Vani just get a job there? Like, you know, it was just this idea. And I just...
Damn, she named names, bro. Deepika Gandhi, if you listening.
You nobody listening.
Out,
I don't know if my parents
are
listening to this.
We have thousands of listeners. I'm so tired of downplaying that number. I mean...
Wait, but that's really... It's so funny, though, because, like, culturally gurus, you know what I mean? Like, teachers are, like... That, it was fascinating in India, like at schools, like as soon as a teacher walks into the room, you,
right,
stand up.
You call them
in India, they're held in very high esteem.
Right.
I remember being surprised
different
by
that. Than here.
Right, yeah. Which is disappointing. It's like, and it's also disappointing that within the South Asian community that's been lost, that's come here. Because I would think, like, to me, I'm very clear. Like, I get, you know, for really stupid reasons, I get the most glamour within the family just because of what I do has a lot of fame around it and, like, it's perceived as a... But I'm very clear that within my family, like, I am the lesser of the siblings from a standpoint of the work they're doing in the community. Now, I'm trying to catch up with, like, starting a theater company and the five volunteerism that I do because my sisters both are, like, service members at the troop. My eldest sister is a pediatrician in a mobile clinic for underprivileged kids. And Vani is, like, very clearly, like, has a responsibility to work with communities that are underserved. Like, this is the kind of stuff that we were fortunately modeled for. So it's disappointing to me that that's not a vision that's shared within our community, because to me it's so just the way it should be.
But I will say, like, I think within our closest, like, family, friends,
sure,
like,
okay,
there
is
a discretion, right?
Like, but I'm talking about, like, a general community thing.
Sure.
And, like, what we're talking about, like, when we're talking about community, it's also, like, what are our community values that we're trying to think. I also want to say it brings up something that I feel like we're very grateful for, is that our parents never got really sucked into that competitive thing between, like, kids and other kids.
It's huge.
Like, yeah. I feel so great. The older I'm getting, the more I realize that, like, my mother was so disgusted by those kind of conversations when, like, I remember some auntie called.
So I'll say something that I remember very clearly growing up. So you and Aditi were both, like, always really good at math, right? That's typical Indians. I'm not good at math. And I remember that you guys used to go to Mr. Azhar for, like, extra math tutoring on Saturday.
So
and
crazy.
But what I remember very clearly is that mom and dad never told me to go. Never. They just understood that that's not something I wanted to do. That that's not something that was going to, like, serve me, because... Not that I was, like, struggling in math, but I definitely didn't want to do extra math on the weekend when I was, like, doing enough math at school. But they never, 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 like, pressured me to go to Mr. Azhar, ever. We would go pick you up on Saturday and then, like, do whatever else we were going to do. And I remember, like, appreciating that so much because mom and dad understood that, like, all of our kids are different.
Right.
We don't have to do the same thing for each of them. And it's okay if Vani is not going to Mr. Azhar on Saturday. Maybe dad wanted me to go, but... Mom probably put her foot down. I don't know. I actually never
No, I mean, dad's actually really... Dad's oftentimes the more, let him do it. Figure it out kind of thing. But that is really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's true. I mean, this was like an enrichment activity. It wasn't like we were struggling. That's a really important point. Like, you were doing fine in math and you were like on the...
Well, Ms.
like,
Stevenson came
path.
And helped me. You know, Ms. Stevenson used to come once a week and she
the
would help
of
me with my homework.
We had.
You know, yeah, I know.
I'm just remembering that.
It's,
again, but yeah.
But that's so typical in India because everyone goes to tutoring.
Right.
Right. So mom and dad
tuition.
Thought that they had to bring that into
That's interesting.
Our lives too, you know.
I'm sorry, one more question off of what I asked earlier before we run out of time. Do you think that the way your profession is perceived within the South Asian community has made you distance from the South Asian community?
Probably, yes. So I think so, because I think, like, I don't have a group of South Asians who are educators to identify with.
Right.
And so my friend who does a lot of, like, nonprofit work, who's also South Asian, Amrith, in Boston, you know, has, like, developed, she's met, like, some other Indians who, like, are doing similar work. And so she said to me numerous times, like, Vani, you have to, like, start an organization for, like, South Asian women in education, or, like, you have to, like, make that, or, you know, and that's very, like, Amrit does those sorts of things. I don't necessarily do those sorts of things, but she is saying to me, because I've said to her numerous times, like, there just aren't people that I identify that, you know, are similar to me within that community. And so I do think that in some ways, that's like distanced.
Yeah, along, is me that along with that. Is that the main thing? Because my question is more about the perception of it amongst the uncles and aunties who get kind of lost in like.
No, I don't think that that influences me. No? That, okay. Also, because now we live in D.C. and I don't live in Tampa, and okay. we don't have that same
right.
And also, like,
and our close circle yeah. of friends, like Lakshmi auntie, like they don't. They're all like happy that I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, they're like really second thing. Parents to me.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a difference between the general Indian community yeah. and then like the Indian, like, because we weren't actually. There's a pretty big, sizable Indian community in Tampa that we weren't really much a part of.
Right.
We were part of like a very smaller subset of it, and individuals within that subset were more tapped into that community. Right. But we just like, yeah, I don't think mom and dad even, and that's a question, a good
and
question
honestly,
for them.
Like mom and dad are proud of me. Like Nani, every time I talk to her is right. like, Vani, you're doing the most important work that anyone could be doing. Right. Like that's all that matters.
Arjun is doing
to
the
me.
Least important
yeah.
work
it's
of
so
any
true, though.
Person. Actors
it's so true.
So useful.
It's like,
they bring entertainment to people.
Let's just
we're clowns.
Let's
we're
close this.
Clowns.
Let's close this. With, well, two questions. The question, what do your kids call you? How do they pronounce your name? Like, what do they...
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah.
So usually Miss Gupta.
Gupta.
But now that I'm not teaching, like this year as I'm an instructional coach, the kids right. don't know me as well.
Right.
And interestingly, for the very first time, I've said that you can call me Miss G, which I really hate, but I've said it because I'm desperate for them to know my name.
Oh, interesting.
And the other thing I've noticed is that the teachers alternate between calling me Vani, because I usually just say Vani,
right.
And Miss G or Miss Gupta. And so some classrooms that I go in, they just call me Miss Vani, which I'm also fine with. I don't care.
Miss Vani, okay, cool.
But it is interesting because...
Is that easy for them to say Vani?
Yeah, it's much easier for them to say Vani than Gupta, right?
Right.
So I just want them to know my name
right.
because I'm, you know, I'm like new to the school still and
right.
we have so many kids and I want them to get to know me
right.
that for the first time I've been a little bit more lenient with what they can call me. And I really right. hate Miss G.
Right.
We also have another Miss G.
Why do you
at
hate Miss G?
Because it's not my name. Right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The second question is, I just feel like we should close on just like, you know, a couple words on just how awesome a brother you have
oh.
and just how... it was funny in my head too. We thank you for coming on and being on the show. I feel like it's so interesting that the different perspectives within a family of like the family, like the way you grew up. I think it's really fascinating.
It's just nice to have an interesting Gupta on the show.
Yes, I'm so happy I could bring that to the show. You're going to have more interesting...
All right, I'm in power of this podcast, and I'm going to cut this off now because this is now getting stupid. Guys, thank you. Vani, thank you.
Of course.
If you want to reach out, you're active not on anything except Instagram. Do you want people to follow you on Instagram? No? Yes?
I mean, I don't do anything on it.
Right, fair enough.
That is a resounding no.
It is a resounding no. So, if you want to hear from us, if you want to hear more, if you want to get more involved, have questions and stuff, reach out to us, and we will, you know, maybe I will filter those.
Twitter, at American Desis, AmericanDesisPodcast@gmail.com is the email.
Also, we're doing a thing where we're putting out our Facebook and we're putting in a question each week now. So respond in the comments. We'd like to hear what you say. It's another way. We're trying to build out ways that like we can make it as easy as possible for you to get involved. Because we want you to be involved. So get involved in that way. And also, if you could do us a small little favor, along with the rating that Akash is going to talk about in a second, if you could just press the little share button when you see our post come up in your Facebook feed.
And like our page if you haven't, American Desis Podcast on Facebook.
But just share that. It just helps us grow the community and just helps us get this out there more. We have amazing guests that come on that are telling really cool stories, and we want your help to get them out to as many people as possible.
Yeah, and in that same vein of thinking, rate the podcast 5 stars. The more 5-star reviews we have, the more we can get the word out about this podcast.
Also, the better that Akash feels about himself.
Arjun really wants to help the community. I want to make money off this podcast. I'm trying to do live reads out here, talk to you about FanDuel or something. All right? Start putting 5 stars. Comment, bruh, all caps, BRUH, exclamation point.
God, I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
We'll catch you in a couple days.
God bless.